Good morning. Welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. Thank you for joining our program today. Our lesson for this morning is entitled, But As For Me and My House. We know these to be the words of Joshua. We're very familiar with them. You've probably seen them on different things in someone's home. Or maybe in your own home. I remember my parents had placemats that had this saying on there, this phrase, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we know that very well. But I want us to look at the importance of Joshua's words, his final words to Israel before his departure and death. We're going to look at those words and study them and try to understand them and apply them in the right way. But before we get into our lesson for this morning, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of it, for the privilege of being able to study your word together from different parts of the world. We thank you for the avenue of radio that we have to spread your gospel. We pray, Father, that you would bless the efforts of all those involved, and we thank you for them. We pray that you would bless our lives today. Bless us in every day that we live and everything that we do. We pray, Father, that the things that we do and say would be pleasing to you. And we thank you for your Son, the one that you gave to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his sacrifice and everything that it means to us. For the hope that we have through him. It is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. I want you to turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 23. And we're going to look at chapters 23 and 24 and certain verses that are found in them that give us the final words of Joshua. We won't study all the words of Joshua, but maybe the main idea here that is given. First of all, before Joshua departs this life, he tells Israel that God is on their side. He warns them to hold fast to God, to his word, and he tells them that God will fight for them as long as they are faithful to him. But let's just look at the words of Joshua in Joshua 23, beginning with the latter part of verse 2. Joshua 23 and verse 2. I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, No one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua gives them warning here, as well as encouragement. He has told them basically about the things of the past. The Lord God had been with his people through everything that they had faced. Whenever they faced Jericho, God helped them to overcome Jericho. Whenever they faced the Red Sea, God helped them to cross the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian army that was following them. He allowed them to overcome. And Israel had gained a reputation for serving God and their God fighting for them. Other nations were afraid of them because God had fought their battles. And he says that if they go back, if they go to these other nations, if they try to be like them, if they intermarry with them, those that do not serve God, then God will no longer do these things for them. Notice in verse 13, it says, the Lord God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they will be snares and traps to you. They would not be allowed to continue in the way that they had if they turned away from serving God. Joshua warned them to remain faithful to the God who had fought their battles. And as long as they were faithful to God, then God would be faithful to his promises. And speaking of promises, Joshua goes into the next few verses speaking of the promises of God. In Joshua 23 and verse 14, it says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. God has been faithful to Israel. All the things that he has promised them have come to pass. And in verse 15 he says, therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Going back to what we read earlier, he's telling them that if they go and serve these other nations, these other gods, they serve any other than the God who has been faithful to them. All these things that he has told them about will come to pass. Verse 16, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. We remember the words that we find in Job: the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Certainly, as we read this passage, we can understand that whatever God has blessed them with, he will also remove from them if they turn away from serving him. God was faithful to Israel. He helped them to overcome many obstacles that they faced, many things that they could not overcome on their own power or on their own account. God had helped them. God had blessed them by helping them to reach the promised land. And all the blessings that they were enjoying now would only continue as long as their faithfulness to God continued. As we continue reading into Joshua chapter 24, we see that he basically reminds the people of where they had come from and of all the things that God had done on their behalf. And since we have time, we'll go ahead and read these passages. Let's pick up reading in verse 2 of Joshua 24. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times. And they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out." Seeing what happened in these times, we see that God went to Abraham, and we remember what God told Abraham: "Go, leave your home, and I will show you where you will go." And Abraham did that. He followed God. And just as Abraham had followed God, so did Isaac. And we see that these promises continued not just in Abraham, but in his descendants, through Isaac, through Jacob, and Esau. We see that they were given certain possessions, certain lands. Jacob and his family ended up in Egypt. We understand the story of how all that came to pass, through Joseph, and how Joseph was sold into slavery. But he ended up a ruler in Egypt. And when Joseph's brothers come to him, when they realize who it is, Joseph invites his family to come and dwell with him in Egypt. However, as they grow as a nation, we see that they are seen as a threat to the Egyptians. They are thrown into slavery. They are forced to serve the Egyptian people. However, it was not the end of the story for Israel, because God sent Moses. Moses leads the people out of Egyptian bondage. Through the plagues that God sends, they are set free. And then it says in verse 6, "Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Basically, God is telling them that in all the obstacles that they have faced, they have been allowed to live in a land that they did not earn. They did not deserve this land. They did not earn it through war or through anything else, but only by the power of God. And then they are given a choice. God has done all of these things for you so far. God has fought your battles. God has been with you every step of the way. God has provided for you, even the land that you dwell in. But now they are given a choice. In Joshua 24, and verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16, "So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." They understood the words of Joshua. They understood what he was telling them. They understood that they needed to remain faithful to God. Why leave the God that they had served for all of these years, who had done so much for them? Verse 17, "For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed, even though they may not have seen it at the time, they were seeing everything that God had done for them now." Verse 18, "And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods from which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. You see, the people were given a choice. They could serve foreign gods, they could go into other lands, they could do whatever they wanted to. This was their choice to make. And even in being given a choice, it seems like the people finally understood what God had been trying to convince them of all along. It seems that they finally understood how much God loved His people. It seems like over and over again throughout their time in Egypt and being led out of Egypt and going into the wilderness wanderings and coming out of those and being given this promised land, that the people were back and forth. They were doing one thing and then they would do another. They were serving God and they would serve something else. And this was over and over again with this people. But now it seems like they're finally understanding. And they're being given a choice here of whether or not they want to serve God. They make the choice. They make the commitment. They make this covenant that they will serve God. Now, were they faithful to that covenant? Now, we know the answer to that. As we read throughout the Old Testament, we see many times where the people turned away from that covenant, turned away from God, just to turn back to God, to turn away again, to turn back to God again. But at this moment, they make this choice to serve God. This choice was not just a choice that was given to the people as a whole, but this is also a choice that is given to them as individuals on what they want to do, how they want to go about serving God, whether they want to serve God or not. We see the individual choice in Joshua's words in verse 15. Despite whatever the people decided, whether or not they served God, it had already been decided in the house of Joshua. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think the lesson that we're looking for is found right here in verse 15. Just in this one sentence, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It didn't matter what the people decided. It didn't matter whether they chose to serve God or chose to serve foreign gods or to live as the other nations around them were living. It didn't matter for Joshua. Because whatever the people of Israel decided, it had already been decided in his household that they would serve the Lord. We need more households like Joshua's. We need more homes with father figures like him that have already made this decision for their families. It doesn't matter what anybody else in the world does. It doesn't matter who anybody else in the world serves. It's already been decided that we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody else has decided on attending the services of the church, because it's already been decided in my house that we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what laws are made within the world. It doesn't matter what our nation's leaders tell us we can and cannot do. It's already been decided in my house that we will serve the Lord. You see, we need more men and women that will stand up for God, that will say that it doesn't matter whatever else anybody else says or decides or thinks or believes, because it's already been decided for me and my house that we will serve the Lord. Is that the decision that has been made in your household? Is that the decision that has been made by you husbands and wives, as you look to serve God? Is that the decision that you've made for your children? That no matter what anybody else teaches, no matter what anybody else thinks, that you're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what sports may come up or what things may come up as a conflict to you serving God, things that you can put before God and serving Him. It doesn't matter, because it's already been decided in your house that you will serve the Lord. Is that the kind of household that you are in? If it's not the household that you are in, then I hope that you will make the decision as Joshua did for his family, that no matter what is said or done around you, the choice has been made that you will serve the Lord. I hope that you'll join us again next week, next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. I thank you for joining us for this lesson today. I hope that it's helped you to make the right choice in serving God. Until we meet again, I pray that God will bless you and your home.